Good morning, Centerpoint. Everybody doing good? I was kind of worried about who had the courage to come back after last week, okay? Because this is a really uncomfortable series. We're looking at some things that we don't like looking at. You know, as I was thinking about it, two things I hate to do, all right? Number one, I hate going to the dentist. Number two, I hate getting a haircut. We had that conversation earlier. Matthew and I, we're going to go on a haircut protest, right, Matthew? His mom says no, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But as I think about my message this morning, this whole series is going to be uncomfortable. We're looking at Jesus' teaching on how to have a happy life, the Beatitudes. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and he gave us eight things. If you want to be happy, here's some attitudes. Here's some things you need to do. And they're not easy. It makes us uncomfortable. We have to admit, it's like last week, you know, we had this verse right here. We did this choice right here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about we had to make a choice here. First question I asked you last week is, are you God? Anybody hear God? You know, that's an easy one. No, I'm not God. But the second one makes us a little uncomfortable because the second one here goes like this. You're messed up. Anybody like being told you're messed up? Now, the Bible has a word for that. I'm going to use the word God uses. Now, this is what really makes us uncomfortable. Sin, right? You're a sinner. I was talking to somebody earlier, and we were talking about my grandfather. I only heard my grandfather preach one time, all right? Because I didn't start going to the church until he was well into his 70s, late 80s, and he just got to preach at that church once that I got to hear. And he was what we called a hellfire and brimstone preacher. You know, he's going to get up there and raise a little hell, you know, and this is going to get you all straight. And it makes you uncomfortable. You kind of get squirmy. We start talking about your sins. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And we're not really talking about sins, but we're talking about being messed up, and we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups is what we're talking about. And so we get a little uncomfortable when I'm saying, you got to admit you got a problem. It's easy to admit I'm not God. It's harder to admit I got a problem. Now, I might tell myself that, but tell somebody else I'm screwed up, tell you my problems. Now, I'm not going to give you secrets to my sins. You know, my sins are my secrets. And so we get a little uncomfortable. And I kind of thought, it's like going to the dentist. Anybody like going to the dentist? You know, at least I don't. You know, I got like five root canals. Anybody else got bone and five root canals? I got like five root canals, you know. And I always love, you know, the dentist says, don't pick at your teeth. Don't put these metal things in your mouth. And what do they do when you walk in and sit in the dental chair? Pull out this metal thing and they start digging at your teeth, right? You know, and then they get this needle that's about this long, right? Anybody? This is what it looks when you're upside down, you're looking at the needle, it looks like it's like this, you know? And then they give you this shot, and then he pulls this thing out and it starts drilling on your teeth. You know, and it's like, oh man, it's really comfortable going to the dentist, right? Well, I'm kind of worried that this message series is going to feel a little uncomfortable, like you dread it. I'm going, you know, and I just dread what's he going to deal with me today? I don't want to deal with my past, you know. I don't want to deal with that habit. I don't want to deal with that thing in my life. I just ignore those issues in my life, and I just pretend they don't exist. Anybody pretend things don't exist? Anybody kind of play those games where you just ignore and, you know? What I hope this series does, I hope this series is really not like going to a dentist. It's like you've been in a winter home, and it's been cold outside and dreary outside, and spring has come, and you open the front door and you step out and the beautiful flowers are blooming and the breeze blows nice and the wind and the air smells so fresh. That's what I hope this series does. I want you to know that I believe there's somebody here that's at least going to walk out of these series at some point in one of these messages and just breathe a breath of fresh air that, you know what, I can just let go of that now. I don't have to deal with that anymore. You know, it's the past, and I can move on. It's that feeling, it's that hurt, it's that wound, and it's just that fresh air. But it begins with the choices we make, and that's what Jesus is talking about. So last week, we called it the reality choice. It's written there in your outline, and it says this: realize I'm not God, admit I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. That was what we have to do. That's reality. You're not surprising anybody when you say, I got a screwed up life. You know? I'm going to tell you, you might think you do. If your mom's still around, your mom knows you're screwed up. Am I right? You know, you can't hide that from your mom. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Your friends know you're screwed up, all right? And I'm a pastor. I'm going to tell you what. I know you're screwed up, okay? Because we're all screwed up. We're all messed up. That we'll admit it to ourselves, but it's just that we try to bury it. The reality choice says, you know what, I'm just going to bring it out front. Well, here I am, just as I. And I've shared this with you. I shared this with the church. I feel so blessed in this church because I've got to be Gary the whole time I've been here. You know, I still remember when one day Martha and them were all in the church and they were sharing with me what had happened once. You know, they were back in the church, Martha, and several of them are talking in the back of the church about their new pastor and how nice and all sorts of glorious things about how great Gary is, which was true. You know, but then my daughter Jennifer says, you don't know my daddy very well. I'm going to tell you what, your kids know you. Am I right? You know, you might think you can put a big show on. And that's what I want to say. You know, if you want to have that breath of fresh air in your life, if you want to breathe and see the beauty of everything that's out there, you're going to have to step up and say, you know what, I'm screwed up. It might be a hurt. It might be a past. It might be a wound. It might be a habit. I don't know what it's something in our life, but we don't like admitting I'm a failure. I got faults. We don't like doing it. But if you're going to have that reality choice, but today I'm going to take it beyond reality choice to there's hope. And we're going to call this the hope choice. So you can read it right here in your outline again. It says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has power to help me change. I know I'm not God, so if I'm not God, who is? Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's only one God. There's no one than like him. There's a lot of pretenders, and sometimes you pretended to be God. Sometimes if I'm honest, you know, but there's one God, and he's the God, and we need to worship and honor him, and he's the one that can make the difference in our lives. And so that's that hope choice. The hope comes because there is a God who loves you. There is a God who cares about you. There is a God who has a passion and a compassion for you. And that's that hope choice that we have. And so Jesus worded it this way. The second beatitude says this: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Here, you want a path to comfort. You want to find some comfort. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to mourn. You're going to have to realize you're messed up. And you're going to have to be sad about being messed up. Now, I have seen people who are proud of their mistakes. Anybody? They're proud of the screw-up. They're proud. This is. And you're sitting there waiting. Wait till you crash and burn, man. This is going to be a little while. So he's saying, you know, we don't like being sad. I don't like being sad. Anybody here like being sad? But in order to get well, sometimes, to start with, we got to be sad about that habit. We got to be sad about that hurt. Am I right? Anybody on board with me here? We got to mourn those things in our life. We got, you know, I'm screwed up and I feel bad about being screwed up. I feel bad about. Yeah. If I want comfort, I'm going to have to feel bad. Does that make sense, what we're talking about? And that's what Jesus is telling. So how do I get there? How do I find those release points, that comfort, that peace that we have? Now the world offers you all sorts of ways. Because most of us, I don't know about you, I'm one of the guys who like quick fixes. Anybody? I was saying this morning, I am a proud oak, all right? I have no bones about it. Now, you go back to the 40s, that would have been an insult. I wear that with a moniker, you know? Could you give me baling wire and duct tape, and I can fix anything? Am I right? Come on now. You know? And we want a quick fix. I can make it work. I can fix it. Some of these guys, you've been with me with us, moving the church, setting church, building church, doing all this stuff. I've done some crazy things. They would say, uh-huh. Yeah. And we want quick fixes. And so in our hurts and in our wounds, instead of mourning our sadness, we try to fix it quickly. I have a bad day at work. Things didn't go well at work. My boss chewed me out. So I come home, I'm all stressed out. I need a... Somebody had an answer for me? I need a drink. Right? I've had a hard day. I got to go to that refrigerator, pull me out a cool one out of the refrigerator. And I got to down at least a cool one, and then another cool one, and then a pitcher of margaritas. I knew somebody that did that. Literally, a couple of beers and a margarita every night because work was horrible. You go to school. You had a rough day at school. The teacher, you got to pass. I barely got that grade. You know, I'm not going to make the grade. You know, and you're stressed about school. And you come home and you're a little younger, so you get that wacky weed, right? It's legal now. Come on. So you take a couple of hits off that weed and you start feeling better and you can relax, right? You guys are really quiet because I'm speaking the truth. Am I? You know, we want comfort. I got to get comfortable. I'm stressed. I've got pain. I got hurts. I got wounds, you know. And I'm just going to sit and veg in front of the TV. You know, I'm going to watch porn. I'm hooked on sex. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to go shopping. That'd make me feel better. Ladies, anybody? Don't raise your hand. Anybody think that one? See, instead of mourning and saying, I've got a mess here I got to work on, we try to cover it up. You see why I said this message is like going to the dentist's office? I'm pricking at you right now. You know, I'm taking that metal thing and sticking it in your mouth and pulling on those teeth, and he's going to hit that nerve pretty soon. You know, right underneath that crown, that's me. Oh, yeah, that one hurts. Well, we're going to take the crown off and redo it. See, we need to realize, you know what? I'm messed up and I need some help. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you could fix yourself, you would have did. Anybody on board with that one? If you can make yourself better, you would have done it by now. But we can't. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. We can't fix ourselves. I can't just be good. I can't. I've got the willpower. I'm strong. We're all up. We're all jacked up. We all have battles. We all have struggles. And we need to sit down and go, I had a bad day at work, and I'm going to sit here and mourn. I have literally walked home, not Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, I go home and go to bed, just so you know. You know, not because I'm depressed. It's just I'm tired. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you preach on a Sunday, man, I don't know these guys. I've used to do two services for one time, and I got guys that I don't know how they do it. But I have literally walked home some days after, just during the week, and just had a bad day and a rough day. And I've gone to my computer. I have sat in front of my computer, pulled up a song on my computer, and sat there and cried. Literally. Over a situation, maybe my life, maybe somebody else's life. And I have sat there in front of my computer and just listened to the song, He Knows My Name. Thank you, Jesus, that you know my name. And cried. Because I got to mourn. Sometimes I have to mourn. Anybody on board with what I'm saying here? You know, sometimes you just got to, and that's what he said. You want comfort. You got to say, okay, God, I need it. And so I want to kind of look at that path that Jesus outlined here for us. I kind of want, how do I get there? How do I find that comfort? Where do I go to get that kind of comfort? I mourn. So how does it work out? So just three quick things. I'm going to see if I can go through these quickly this morning, all right? Test me out, we do here. Three quick things. The first one I put here, as you look at your outline, is I have to see who God really is. I got to step back and say, who is God? And what is God like? I'm going to ask you that. Who is God? What is God like to you this morning? Now, when I say that, there are some people, and I've had these conversations with some, feel that God is judging them. You know, they did something wrong, and so now they're paying the price for what they did wrong. I've had that conversation. You know, and I'm going to tell you, that's not God. All right? I have others that God is, he's there to condemn you. You know, he's come to point out all your faults, all your failures, tell you you're screwed up, and too bad, sucker. You're on your own. Good luck. And they just feel that they're condemned. There's a lot of people in this boat that I've had conversations with that God is just watching over them to judge every mistake, to find every flaw, to point out every failure, to watch them stumble and then say, I knew you'd do that. See, and some people feel condemned by God. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've wrestled with some of that feeling of condemnation that God is just, you know, I'm so far gone, I'm so messed up, I've done so much evil, I've done so much wrong, that God can't love me because I'm just not lovable. And I want to tell you something. It says here in this verse right here in Romans 8:34. Look at what it says. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of the right hand honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. What did he say? There's a little word I want you to circle. But what word did I leave out that you need to circle? No. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. You can read. That's what's fun about reading John 3. See, I'm going to tell you, if you want to read just one chapter in the Bible, read John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes all messed up, all screwed up. John chapter 3. I don't know, God, what's the answer? Who's the answer? What do I need to do, God? How's this all going to work out? And Jesus begins to tell him. You get to John 3:16. Talk to an Awana kid. They'll tell you what that was. You know, you get to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Right on through. And then you go down to like 17, 18. Get down all the way down there. And it says, he did not come to condemn the world, but to set us free. And that's what I want us to have. It's like walking out into that breath of fresh air. It's not like walking into a dentist's office dreading those x-rays and what they're going to find. You know, that dark spot on that tooth. Oh, no, there's another thing. That's the way I feel. My teeth are rotten, okay? Because I'm rotten. And you just dread, you know. But when you come and you figure out, he didn't come to condemn. He came to set me free. What a fresh air. What a breath of just a breeze that feels so cool and the beauty of the flowers, just how freeing to know that. No, he's not here to condemn you and to point out all that you did wrong. But he's there to set you free from those hurts, habits, and wounds. Anybody? You know, and we need to see that, and we need to experience what he's come to do. But we have a feeling in us that maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe he's going to condemn me. Maybe, you know. And how, I want to kind of mention, just real quick, I want to talk about feelings real quick. Anybody here got feelings? What's that song, Feelings? What's that? Yeah, don't ask me. I'm not going to sing it, okay? You know? Because we wrestle with feelings. And, you know, as I was writing my message, I was going to write, feelings lie, okay? Well, I'm going to be honest. Some feelings lie. I'm reading a book right now or listening to a book right now, and I'm thinking next year I might use that as a foundation for a sermon series during this time. And it's talking about healthy spiritual life. And he was saying feelings, we discount feelings way too often too easily. Because here's what I want to tell you. Feelings, some lie. You know, you need to know, there are some feelings you need to run from. All right? You know, if you're married and you have feelings for somebody else, you got a problem. You need to run. Okay with that? You know? You're walking down the road and you got a feeling that somebody's behind you. And you look back and you got a baseball bat. You better run. All right? You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you can trust those feelings. But there's other feelings you got to deny. And you got to run from those feelings. You know, if you got a feeling that God's condemning you, that's one of the feelings you got to run from. That's one of the feelings you can't have anything to do. And so there's some feelings you got to stay away from. And so, I wanted to make sure I made that point. This book is really interesting because it's like I'm one who just kind of blows feelings off. That's my personality. But there's some feelings that matter. But there's some feelings that you do need. And when you feel God is condemning you, that's when you got to deny. Because I'm going to ask you, who can you trust? Who do you trust? I'm going to be honest. Do I trust Gary all the time? No. You need to know that. Gary can do stupid things. I had some really bright ideas. Anybody have bright ideas that just fell flop? Anybody ever have a bright idea that hurt yourself on? I'm going to jump off the roof. You know? I'm going to hit my brother and break my hand. Anybody got bright ideas? You know? We get ourselves in trouble. Who am I going to trust? You know, where do I put my trust? My feelings? And so we need to see this, and we need to understand that, yeah, if I have these feelings that God is judging and that God is condemning, you're on the wrong path, okay? Because I want you to know that God really loves you. I like this verse. Look at what it says, Psalms 86:15. That you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Isn't that nice? Isn't that the God you want? But let's get real. You know, here's the God. Who is God really? What is God really like? He's compassionate. He's gracious. You know, I just so you know, I think one of the most important words in the Bible, there's two really important words for me in the Bible. You ask me for two key words in the Bible for me, love and grace. All right, those are the two words I'm going to cling to in the Bible. God's love and my love for him and our love for one another, and God's grace that says, Gary, you're screwed up, but I'm here to help you. Now, I'm hanging with those two words with God. And we need to see that. He's compassionate. That's loving. And he's gracious. He's there for us. He's slow to become angry. Now, God doesn't get angry. I'm going to tell you something. You hear me say this all the time in this church. I want to learn with a 2x4 before God gets me with a 4x4. Anybody on board with that one? I want to learn fast, Lord. But we need to come to God and realize who God really is. He cares about my hurt. He cares about my habits. He cares about my wounds. He's not sitting on the sideline just saying, good luck. I wish you well. I hope things turn out good for you. He's saying, I want to help you. That's what God is saying. And so we have to have this real image of God, of who he is. And look at what it says in 1 Corinthians. May God our Father, why don't you circle the word Father, and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and hope. He's a Father. Now, some maybe had a father like mine. Mine was a very strict father. Anybody been in one of those boats where you're, you know, here's the line, don't cross it? We're like me, you crossed it, and you got the results of that crossing. Yeah. But the one thing I always knew, my dad loved me. Yeah. I might have crossed the line, but I, you know, it's just life. But God's our Father. He's not like that. God's not, he's there to pick us up. He's there to carry us, and I like the image, and I wanted to close out this section with this image right here. Look at what it says here, 23rd Psalms. And again, I'm going to get, you know, read the third chapter of John. Read the 23rd Psalms. And here's just a little passage of that. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even in the darkest time in your life, even when things aren't going right, whether it's at school, at home, in your marriage, at your finances, wherever, man, it's a dark place in your life, and you feel it's really dark right now, and you're done. You know, you come home after work, after school, you close the windows, you close the curtains, you close the blinds, you turn all the lights off, and you just sit there. Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they come. He's describing Jesus and God as a shepherd. That he's a loving, caring shepherd for his sheep. And I want you to have that picture that you're a sheep. You're one of God's sheep. You're one of God's children. And that shepherd would sit there and watch that sheep, and he'd see that sheep that maybe it's limping a little bit on one leg, and you know, it got caught in a rock, or it stepped on a thorn, and it's limping, it's wounded. And the shepherd would see that sheep, and he'd walk over, and he'd pick that sheep up, and he would look over that sheep, and he would bandage its wounds and care for that sheep. And if he had to, and you can see the picture, I've seen pictures where he'd put the sheep on his shoulder and carry that sheep because it couldn't walk anymore. That's the picture David's painting for us of God. Do you see God that way? You see God as a loving shepherd who's walking with you and caring for you. And that rod and that staff, I talk about that all the time in different messages. The rod was that tool the shepherd used to protect his sheep, a little 2-foot rod he would throw at wolves or anything that got close to his sheep. He could use it as a weapon to guard his sheep. And that staff he would use to pick up the sheep, and when it's caught in the rocks, and he'd care for the sheep. Now, what you have, do you have a real picture of God? If you want hope today, and you want to face those darkest times in your life, how do you see God? I'm not talking about how you feel, because feelings can be deceiving. There's some you got to run from, and some you need to run to. And what I want you to have is a feeling that God is a loving God. Who cares for you, you run to him. Does that sound okay? That you run to Jesus because he wants to care for you. When you got that feeling, if you got that other feeling, run from it and run to Jesus. Does that sound okay? That's where comfort comes from. When you mourn and you realize, when you're wounded and you're hurting, you go and you find the shepherd and he picks you up. And he says, I know that habit. And I know how it's got you. And I know how Satan wants to use it. I know how Satan is twisting you and hurting you. And I'm here to help you. That's what God says. I know that wound. I know that past. I know that story you have that you can't get rid of, that just plays over and over in your head, and that just keeps running through your mind over and over again. And I know that story, and I know what you. I was with you when that happened, but I couldn't, and I didn't do anything. But I'm going to use it now. You've heard this before. God never wastes a hurt. Anybody? So you got to have a real picture of who God is. All right? So you want hope. You mourn to a God who loves you. Why don't you write that down somewhere? Write that. I gave you a big space there. Write that God loves me. Write that. Because that takes me to my next point. I have to see who I am. Who am I really? Now, I kind of began this last week talking that I really am messed up. Anybody here not messed up? No. If I ask anybody, are you perfect? Anybody going to raise their hand? Are they perfect? No. I'll be honest with you. You go to Awana and ask kids if they're perfect. Some of the kids will raise their hands, okay? But we're old enough to know better. Am I right? You guys old enough to know you're not perfect? You know? Maybe you can be and Mary Poppins and be practically perfect. Is that okay? You know? But we talked about we're all messed up, and for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of the glorious standard. We've all sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We're all sinners. We're all messed up, every one of us. Nobody's perfect. And if you think you are, then you're really not perfect, okay? Because that's who we are, and we know it and acknowledge it. And we talked about that last week, and I kind of laid it out last week with you, but I want to kind of take it a step further here. Because look at what it says here in Luke 12:2. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your true face will be known. Anybody? Now, do you know where my mask slipped? Does anybody know where my mask slipped? You can see the true Gary. See? But here's the thing. I haven't hidden it. Do I mourn that? To be honest, here's confession, good for your soul. Sometimes. Sometimes I don't mourn it. I want to run them over. All right? You know? Sometimes I don't feel bad about it. Come on. You got to be honest. You're going to tell me you don't have some things wrong that you don't, you know, it's like, oh, this time I can get away with it. Come on. You know? But we need to understand that. We can't hide it. I told you already, you know, if you're a parent, I could go ask your kid, that's a funnest thing, I'm going to tell you, that is one of the best things about working with children. You find family secrets. All right? So all of you in here, if your kid's in children's church, they're telling on you, okay? Because kids don't know. Remember, okay, now I'm going to get my age away. Here we go again. Anybody remember Arndt Leechleiter? The kids say, see, you guys, you know, and they're just, they don't know what's right and what's wrong. See, we can't hide. We think I can be good at it. Well, I can look so good on Sunday morning. You know, Laura lays out my shirt, gives me nice looking pants, and I look good on Sunday morning. And you guys never know behind the scene. I'm getting in that car into the devil. Anybody else play on Sunday? Don't raise your hand, but you know, we gotta say that. But here's what I wanted. We talked about that last week, but I wanted to take it a step further. Because last week, we need to acknowledge that I'm messed up, but don't stop there. I am messed up. May your unfailing love be my comfort. Psalms 119:76. I'm messed up, but guess what? God loves me. Did you know God loves you just as you are? Did you know that? The thing is, God loves you just as you are. He just don't want you to stay that way. He doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to change. He wants us to be different. And see, God's got this unfailing love. I'm going to tell you, in my relationship with God, I got news for you. God has never failed. Now, Has Gary ever failed God? You don't have to answer it. I'll answer it for you. Yes! You know? But God's never failed. See, the real me is, I need to know I'm loved, even in the midst of my failures. While I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. God didn't say, Gary, clean your life up and come to me. Get everything straight. Get your life all worked out. Get rid of those habits, those hurts, all that stuff in your life. Get rid of that and then come to church and we'll take care of everything from then on. God says, bring it with you. You can't hide it. You might as well bring it. And let's get it all straight here at the throne of God, at the grace of God. See, and he's painting this picture for us that God is there. Look again, it's Romans 5:8, that God has shown us how much he loves us. We were still sinners. Christ died for us. See, that's that healing choice. We need to make that choice. You hear me say every Sunday at the end of my message, if not at the end of my message, what it means to be a Christian. I make it as plain as I can. You know, being a Christian. Well, I was raised, my grandfather was a preacher, never pastored a church, but he was a preacher. So I'm a Christian. Does that work? My mom and dad drove me to church till I was 8, till I was old enough to say I didn't want to go, so now I'm a Christian, right? Well, I was baptized as a baby. I wasn't, but maybe you were. You baptized as a baby. Does that make you a Christian? Week in and week out, being a Christian is not, well, I shook the preacher's hand, or I was baptized, whether it's a baby or 20 years old, doesn't matter. That's not going to make you a Christian. I say it this way, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours in my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. Something along that line. I don't know what path you crossed. Mine was a little book called Four Spiritual Laws. Gary, you're messed up. I already know that one. Gary, Jesus died. Okay, I kind of had an idea about that one. I was kind of dragged to church to see that one. Gary, you need to accept Jesus. Oh, yeah, do that. My cousin prayed with me. So I don't know what it is for you, but you need to have that God loves you and that he cares for you and that he's there for you. But see, the part of the problem is we let our circumstances dictate our feelings again. We let our circumstances at work, our circumstances at school, our circumstances in our finances, our circumstances in our marriage, our circumstances in our relationship. We let our circumstance dictate how we feel about being loved by God. Well, how can God love me? How could God love me? He does. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and God cared for us. I want to make sure you get this picture. So I want you to write this down again. Write this word down. You're going to be a blank to fill out. Just something right there. Right, I'm loved by God. Realize that. First of all, you need to realize God loves you. Second, you need to realize you're loved by God. Are you willing to accept that? I'm messed up. I'm screwed up. I got faults. I got failures. I got a past. I got a history. But God loves you. We need to see that. So the final thing we need to do, if you're going to have this path, you come up and you go, I'm not God, you're God, and I realize what kind of God you are. Not only am I a sinner, not only am I messed up, that reality choice, I am messed up, but you love me anyway. Does that sound good? How does this work out now? And then the last thing I got is this. I've got to see how God can change me. I got to see how God will change me. Now, as I was writing some of this and thinking about some of this, some of us are going to go, he can't. I'm too far gone. Or how about this one? I just don't have the time. Not right now. How many are just so busy in life? Anybody here busy in life? Anybody here just go, go, go? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody got their plate full? Is that how we say it? Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you got a job or you're retired. You know, I always like those who retire. You know, you retire, maybe the first week it's slow. After the first week, you got more you're doing than you did when you were working. You know? How do we do this? How do we cross this path? Maybe you tried and you say, I can't. I've tried and I give up. How do we do this? And I'm going to tell you, God paints great pictures. That's what I like about reading the Bible. God doesn't just tell us He paints pictures with his words. And the picture he paints for us is found in the book of Isaiah, the minor, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. And he paints a wonderful picture of his people. Chapter 40. Kind of talks about all the hope and all that God is and all that God can do. Then he comes down near the end and he says this. Have you never seen? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. You get that? God never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Anybody need power to change? Anybody need strength? Even youth will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Anybody like that one? Anybody need some new strength? They will be like, they will soar high on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He said, you're going to mount up like wings of eagles. And I read the story, and I loved it, so I was going to use this illustration. Anybody ever see hummingbirds? Anybody ever see hummingbirds? Nobody's seen a hummingbird? Anybody ever see a hummingbird? Okay. All right. I want to make sure I had some contact here, all right? Yeah. You know, and they just dash around. You know, you had the hummingbird feeder. They dash over here, and then they, you can't even see their wings. They're just darting everywhere. You know, and they just roam in here and then back, and then they go over there and they're back, and they're just zooming everywhere. They're just running around in life. Now I want to ask you, you ever feel like that in life? You ever feel like a hummingbird? You're just dashing here and there. I got to be here. I got to do this. I got to have this. You never sit down to mourn. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just go, and it's life, and it's the life we live in America, right? This is the dream that we have, right? I'm going to grow up and get the white picket fence and two cars in the driveway, and we're going to have the American dream, and we're going to run around crazy. Anybody? Anybody get the picture? We're these hummingbirds just dashing here and there, and it's like, I got to be here, and I got to get over there, and I got to do this, and I got to have this, and I don't get this, and I don't have enough money, so I'll charge it. You know? I don't have enough time, so I won't go to small group this week, right? Come on now, I'm being meddling. I told you I'm going to make you uncomfortable. But I want you to walk out to breath of fresh air. Yeah, you come to the dentist, but walk out feeling good. Because life is a hassle, and we live it like hummingbirds. But you know what God wanted us to live it like? What did he say here? Like what? Like an eagle. You ever seen an eagle? Anybody ever see eagle? Nobody's seen eagles? Come on. Beautiful bald eagles. I was just in June. I was up in Oregon. We were camping up there. Florence, Oregon. We were camping. And we were looking there, and we go across a bridge, and the tide was out, and the seals were just laying around. And so we stopped. We walked back on there watching. And then I look over here, and there's two eagles standing in the sandbar. They're just standing there in the sandbar, and the tide's coming in, and I'm watching these eagles. I'm taking pictures of them. Then the tide comes in, their feet start getting wet. I guess their feet, I don't know. Eagles don't have feet, whatever you call their feet. Claws, whatever, you know. So they start getting wet, so they take off, and they fly. And they're gorgeous when they fly. They flap their wings, and they just kind of soar. They're not flittering. They're not down there. They're just kind of soaring. Just drifting in the air, not flapping their wings all the time. You know, they're just drifting, you know, and they catch that breeze, and they go higher, not even flapping their arms, and they just seem to rise as the air blows against their wings. They just rise, and they just go. You see these eagles just drifting around and just floating around, and they would land again on some dry sandbar. And the water kept coming in, and we stood there for over an hour, just watching the seals and watching the eagles. And again, they would take off and just soar around and just kind of fly around. And that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for you. See, he designed that eagle to catch the updrafts. He designed that eagle to find the breeze that it can just turn into the wind and rise without even flapping its wings and just rise in the air. And that's what I want you to know that God wants for you. See, God designed you. He designed you to catch the updrafts of the breath of his words. To feel the wind of the Spirit that just lifts you. that just carries you, that just takes you to another level. See, that's how God's designed us. See, we're eagles. We're not hummingbirds. Why do we live like hummingbirds? I don't know. When I get a chance to soar, when I get a chance to fly way up and above, in the beauty of all that God's created. See, there's hope. We have hurts. We have habits. We have hangers. We all do. That God wants to turn those in the breaths of fresh air that rise us on the winds of eagles. Sound? Because here's what God wants. He says it very plainly. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So I challenge you this morning. Don't be a hummingbird. Soar with the eagles on the wings of God. Anybody? Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know that we are designed hand of God, not to flitter, not to dash around, but to soar like eagles. To live on the breaths of God. You know, as we're praying, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you've just been dashing and darting around and the circumstances in life has just pushed you down and you want to soar this morning. And you want to admit, God, you know, I have made a mess of my life. And I know I'm not God. But I want you to lift me up. If you want to raise your hand and say, pray for me that I can soar with the eagles, if you raise your hand, let me pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these this morning who want to walk through these doors and find the breath of God as they walk into the beautiful sunny day and soar with the eagles. Lord, so we don't turn from you. We turn to you. We don't let the fear, we don't let the time of change, we don't let the worries, we turn to you. So Lord, I lift these up to you. You lift them up on eagle's wings, Lord. You let them rise above all the circumstances, all the struggles and trials, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups. You lift them up above those. Let the breath of God raise them and lift them to soar to new heights, because you are real to them. You are their God. You are their comforter. You are their encourager. You are their strength. It's not by might nor by wisdom, but by the mighty hand of God, Lord, that you lift them up. You designed them to soar. So let them soar with you into the beauties of all God has made and made them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.